Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
And welcome to the Phil Hendry Show. And this segment is a weekly segment that we have, we're very proud to have introduced this segment to the Phil Hendry Show. We hear so much negativity. We hear so many emails that many hosts like to read on their shows that, oh, they take disparaging views of life. They are cynical. Take the cheap shot here, the calculated slam there. That's why we call this portion of our program the Uplifting Email of the Week. An email that's sent to our program to enlighten, an email that's sent to our program to tell us how good we're doing, just make us feel better, maybe make you feel better in the at the same time. And certainly these are people who listen to the show. So Bud Dickman's with us here. And Bud, you have our email?
Yeah, I do, Phil. Here's really good and a very uplifting email of the week.
Okay, Bud, go ahead and read our uplifting email of the week.
Dear Mr. Hendry, now you too can experience penis enlargement through the Figner Laboratories' new penis enhancement surgical technique.
Let me have that for a moment, please. Kill the music, please. Excuse me, folks.
Uplifting email week.
Yeah. Now you too can experience.
Let me just finish it. The Figner Laboratory, it's really good stuff. I mean,
what are you doing?
It's good. Listen. New penis enhancement surgical. Thousands of men just like you, Mr. Hendry, have added up to 3 inches to their otherwise undersized members to take the...
Give me the thing and kill the music, please. Why am I letting you read this?
What?
Why am I letting you read that on the uplifting email of the week?
On an uplifting email of the week.
Well, what is that supposed... Is that supposed to be uplifting?
Just listen.
Bud!
Just listen, man!
Give me that! Oh, now he's gonna cry. How is that the uplifting email of the week?
You wanna have uplifting email, right?
Yes!
That's the one!
That's the most uplifting... What does he want now? David, you gotta listen to me, man.
Will you let him finish?
You gotta let... Did you hear...
Let him finish! It's called the uplifting email of the week!
Did you hear...
I'm trying to hear! You're butting in!
You're butting in, not let me read uplifting email of the week.
What kind of an email is that? We got that from a listener.
Just let the guy finish.
Go ahead, Bud.
Dear Mr. Hendry, now you too can experience penis enlargement through the Figner Laboratory new penis enhancement surgical technique. Thousands of men like you have added up to 3 inches to their otherwise undersized members by take advantage of our staff, no pun intended, of dermatological and urological specialists.
No pun intended.
Why continue to go through life with Mr. Hendry with an abnormally small penis when you can join the world of men who now have average size or even above average size penises? Please hit respond on the toolbar, if you'll pardon the expression, above this email and we'll send you all the details.
Pardon the expression.
It's a great day, Mr. Hendry. Don't delay in receiving our catalog on exercise, surgery, and other therapies that can put you on the road to having a regular-looking penis today. Sincerely, Dr. Ralph Figner, Director of Figner Laboratory, Syracuse, New York. I thought it was very nice.
Oh, well, isn't that nice?
I thought it was very uplifting.
Very up. David, did you hear that?
Yeah. So what's the problem?
The name of the bit is Uplifting Email of the Week, okay?
Phil, you're the only thing that's a downer in this segment. You're the only thing that's bringing people down in this segment.
How do you figure that?
You're screaming and yelling and you won't let him read it. That was very uplifting. They're offering you penis enhancement.
That's very uplifting. No, you can do...
Well, what makes you think I need it, number one? And number two, what is this, man? This is supposed to be from listeners, right?
Yeah.
This isn't from a listener. Let me see that. This is spam.
What do you mean?
Spam! You know what spam is.
You mean this?
Not that can you keep in your desk. Put that... Spam.
What do you mean spam?
We got spam, dude.
Look, Phil, if you've been in touch with this Figner Laboratories, wanting...
I haven't been in touch with Figner... Can we kill the music for a minute? I haven't been in touch with Figner Laboratories.
So they just randomly sent you an email about penis enhancement. Is that it?
I mean, Phil, there's nothing wrong with it.
Wait a second. You know, you guys are not going to do this to me, okay? You're not doing this to me.
A lot of guys who were wounded in the war.
Yeah, sure. Some people have that problem.
I ain't got that problem, okay?
Guy just spamming you some penis enlargement email, I would think you'd be happy.
Why?
It's an opportunity for you.
Look at dude, I don't need the opportunity. I wanted uplifting emails from listeners, okay? Bud goes in there and pulls off some spam that we got from some Feignor Laboratories about penis enlargement.
Very uplifting.
I felt it was very good news. Your wife might be happier if you replied to the
email. Well, I'm not going to reply to the email.
It just said, hit respond on the, if no pun intended, toolbar.
Yeah. This is supposed to be from listeners. Okay?
Phil, don't. Can I ask a question?
What?
Don't you want to be normal like Mr. Holland and me? And
I am normal, all right? I am normal.
Sure. So they all say.
Come on, man. This is spam email. This has got nothing to do with listeners to the Phil Henry Show sending us uplifting email.
Well, that's the best one I could find.
So, in other words,
look at the kid's doing his job, Phil.
So, I just want to ask. In other words, but of all the email we get, the most uplifting and positive email to the Phil Henry Show last week was this piece of spam on penis enlargement.
Yeah, that was it.
I mean, that's the only good mail you're getting.
Well, I refuse to believe that.
Well, you want to come in and look at email with me in the morning? You could come in.
Look at the other thing the kid's getting is that he's got to read it. Don't you want an uplifting email?
Well, yeah.
You want one once a week, right?
Sure.
Well, if that's it, that's it.
That's all it was, Mr. Hall. Everybody else said Mr. Henry a dick brain. You want me to do uplifting email a week, right?
Yes.
Don't blame the tard if you don't get any good mail.
I can't.
I'm telling you, you come in and uplifting, you know, I do my job. I come in, I sit down, I go, Mr. Henry, dickhead. I hate Mr. Henry. His show blow. Look at this. Blow. A million blow. Then I come in this one. Hey, Mr. Henry, we can help you make your penis normal size. So.
And then you bring it in here and read it on my show.
That's what you want him to do. Why don't you just admit you're wrong?
You know, I really do you a lot of good.
I'm not wrong, man. You know what I'm talking about. And you know what spam is, too. It's when you get all these emails sent to you by all these companies.
You didn't tell me not to read a spam. You just said, get the best email.
And that was it?
Yeah. Here it is. I hate your show. We can make your penis bigger. All right, pick that one.
Better yet, admit that it wasn't spam. Admit it was not unsolicited. Just admit that you've been in contact...
I haven't been in contact with Feignor Laboratories.
Okay.
Yeah, all right.
Oh, you guys think I'm lying?
No.
No, we believe you.
I didn't send away for any stuff on penis enhancement. Do you understand?
Yeah, we understand.
I believe you.
Look at you, guy.
No, what's the problem? I believe you didn't do it. You say you didn't do it.
If you say you didn't send away to Feignor Advertising, whatever the hell it was, for an email telling you in depth how you can get your penis enlarged, we believe you.
You're sure?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay then.
All right, you feel better?
You all right?
I'm fine, yes.
So do you want me to have them send some more information?
No, I don't need it, okay?
I thought you might want the penis exercise video, so I hit reply on a toolbar.
Yeah, no pun intended.
Thanks, guys.
I'm going to go look for more uplifting email.
Yeah, maybe one on breast enhancement, huh?
Oh, good. You want to enlarge your breasts?
That's pretty good, bud. Enlarge your breasts.
1-800-449-868. Just get out of here. Don't stare at me. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show, Toolbar.
Hundred. 888-449-8686. And now, Phil Hendry.
You know the kind of show that I do, and for those of you just joining the show, I'll explain it. I think it's helpful. We try every day to explain the show. We always want to stop down at least once per day to explain the Phil Hendry Show because it's really not like any other show you've ever heard before. This is a theatrical presentation. I do characters on this show. I interact with the callers playing myself and the character. You may have recalled our flashback that we played today. You might have heard me playing the part of Chris Norton, a guy who was offering to have sex with Chandra Levy if she'd come out of hiding. Or the part of Jay Santos, the Citizens Auxiliary Police member who believes that he can take the picture of every man coming out of a bar because if you go in and have food in a bar restaurant, you must be drinking, so you must be some kind of a scumbag. And on and on and on it goes. That's what we do. And we get callers, and sometimes they're very amusing, you know? That's the show, and that's what we do. And I got this comment today from, I don't want to say who. Let's just say a member of the media. In my home city here of Los Angeles, and I'm sure that this has been said elsewhere, I'm not saying that I'm all the rage and everybody's talking about Phil Hendry, but when they do, they may be saying something along these lines, and that is that basically I'm a manipulative and exploitive guy who likes to watch people slip on a banana peel. So in other words, if I play the part of a character on the show and people call in believing it's a real guy, and then they wind up talking to Chris and he's, you know, saying things like Mona Lewinsky or David Hall is asking about women's bowel movements, these kinds of things, that we're entrapping listeners. And I think that's a really interesting word, entrapping. People that call talk shows, as I've made almost a crusade of saying over the last several years, are not representative of people that listen to talk shows. They just aren't. And that's gradually more and more becoming very evident. I think people are getting hipper and they understand what's going on with talk shows. You're not listening to listeners. You're listening to active callers. And they may be calling in for a lot of different reasons. But I was going to ask myself the question and just sort of ask it here. Am I doing an exploitive, manipulative show? Is it a cruel show? Now, if you think that I'm going to ask your opinion and have you call in about that, no, I'm afraid not. No, I'm going to talk about it just to myself here. At 5:30, however, we will be doing You May Now Talk to Phil, and you can talk to me on a variety of things that perhaps you've heard us discuss on this program. But for the next few minutes, I just want to talk about this show from the standpoint of do we take advantage of people? Because the person said this. They said, I'm for the underdog. I love the underdog. I think what he does hurts the underdog. Hurts the underdog. This show stands for the underdog. This show stands for everybody that was ever lied to, everybody that ever believed a box top, everybody that ever sent away for the little plastic decoder ring and it came in six different pieces, it was broken in the mail. This show stands for all the people out there who bought into the pitch of a congressman, bought into the pitch of a televangelist. This show stands for anybody who ever bought into the pitch of some guy selling any product that didn't turn out to be the thing that you thought it was. That's who I stand for. Now, people say, well, in other words, you stand up for idiots. Well, what do you call an underdog? This show tries to educate people. As to all the kinds of, and as the man said, there's all kinds of bullcrap in the world. And of all the kinds of bullcrap in the world, the worst kind of bullcrap is the kind that takes advantage of people. I mean, takes advantage of them monetarily, emotionally, etc. This show, whether you want to believe it or not, whether you actually can understand it or not, stands up for all the people that have ever been shucked, jived, bullcrapped, BS'd to term paper, etc. Because this program educates every day as to what's real and what isn't. And I think, by extension, what's valuable and what isn't. So somebody's going to say, no, I just think it's manipulative. Those are people that are hanging on to the old days of talk radio. They want to hang on to the old days when it was a forum for people's opinion. The old days when it was some forum for the inherent creativity of the listener or the caller. That, you know, get them to call up, for instance, and be funny and do shtick. With all due respect, it's dead. It's over. You guys aren't funny. I've listened to people struggle with callers. Say, hey, why don't you call up and tell us the best time that you ever got your ass kicked in a parking lot? And then people call in and try to be funny when it ain't. They try to be characters on the show. It's just not. So that's old school. We don't believe in it. We don't use it. We don't do it anymore. We're honest. And by that, I mean we're honest in telling you that what this show is really about is me and how I observe life. And it's about me and how I communicate those observations. Me, about how I theatrically present those. Me and my sense of humor. Me and the way that I view things and the way that I want to communicate things and the way that I live my life and the things that I bring to the... It's about me. And you either listen to it to listen to this clown on the radio and enjoy it, or you turn to another station. But I ain't lying to you. I mean, you can say whatever you want about the show. One thing you can't say is Phil Hendry is bullcrapping you. Because that's what every radio show is about. I'm the only guy that's going to tell you the truth. Every radio show is about the guy or the woman, in the very rare instance, the woman that hosts it. So I could go through all kinds of, you know, moments when I was sitting in front of talk radio seminars or at conventions or something and talking to people and talking about how we need more minority hosts and we need more female hosts. I don't want to go around because I'd just be slapping myself on the back and telling you what a great guy I am, how I stand up for, you know, diversity in broadcasting and all that bull crap. But generally, it's just about the white 45 to 50-year-old bald-headed host. Male. I said bald-headed. I thought I would assume you would think I was talking about a guy, but, you know. Bald-headed female host. That's what it's all about. And it's like any stand-up comic you might go see, or anybody doing a one-man show, or anybody just sitting and reading. What is it about? It's really about listening to them and whether you enjoy them or not, and whether you're taking in what it is that they got to say. And if not, you get up and split, you listen to another show. I get it, man. I get it. I understand. I know you got the freedom to turn the dial to another radio show. That's cool. I suggest you do it. If you have the instinct to do that, or continue to listen, if that is your instinct. But I'm not going to tell you what to do. But here's the bottom line in all of this. You're not going to tell me what to do. You're not going to tell me what kind of a show to do. That's why on the Phil Hendry Show, we don't read listener mail. We throw it all in the garbage. That's why we don't solicit emails, because most of the time, they're not very entertaining to read. If they had some entertainment value to read on the air, it would be fun. But 99% of the time, I'm going to waste the time of my staff going through emails that are just unfunny, just suck. And why would I waste Mike's time? He can do, you know, 95 other things. And I learned a very hard lesson. I learned it in Miami. When you rely on, well, not that the people in Miami were any duller than anybody else. It's just that when you rely upon the creativity of your listeners and callers, you're going to die slowly, horribly. You will crash and burn. And when you're crashing and burning, you think they're all going to be calling up and going, "Hey, Phil, that was me who just gave you that bomb joke. I'm sorry." They're going to sit out there and let you croak. I can bomb on my own. I don't need any help. So on this show, we don't use that input either. But I'm being honest with you. So when this person said today, well, it's manipulative and it's exploitive, I think what she was really saying was that this show doesn't do what a talk show is supposed to do, and that's pretend like it cares about other people's opinions and pretends like it cares about solving the world's problems and pretends like it cares about the hot issues of the day and pretends like it cares about whether you're getting educated. No, we don't. Everybody else does. We don't pretend that we care about any of that stuff. The only thing we pretend that we care about is trying to get out of this day with a couple of laughs. And I'm telling you, some days it's tougher than others. But we try to get out of this day with a couple of giggles. Me first, you're second. I got to make myself laugh first, then you guys. If I don't think it's funny, it ain't getting on the radio. And if I ain't laughing at it, then I don't give a crap whether you thought it was the funniest thing you ever heard in your life. I hate it. And I don't want to do it, and I'll never do it again. So the first guy that's got to think it's funny is me. Then the second person who needs to think it's funny is you. The third person who needs to think it's funny is the caller. And then the fourth person is my cat. The fifth person is Craig. The sixth, well, never mind. Okay, now we're going to do You May Talk to Phil, 1-800-449-8686. The rare opportunity once a week where you can check in, comment on the show. Things you've heard, opinions you've heard expressed, opinions you have. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. And now, Phil Hendry.
Segment of our program called You Can Talk to Phil. You may not talk to Phil. 1-800-449-8686. Questions about the show, opinions that you have, opinions that I have. We're also thinking, I just wanted to mention an idea that I've got for a segment on the program. Mike, I don't know what you think of this. I'm thinking of a segment on the show called Dumbass Roundtable. And what that would be is a seminar of Bud, RC, and Jeff talking about different news issues like only three dumbasses can. For instance, I was just thinking, watching the Chandra Levy coverage, and I said to Craig these words. Hey, Craig. Yeah, Phil? You know, if that guy Condit won't take a lie detector test with the cops, he must be hiding something. And Craig says, yeah. That kind of stupid analysis of the news is what we're looking for. Okay, let's go over now to Nathan. Hey, Nathan, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, buddy, great to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you.
I was wondering, I noticed a lot of your guy characters, or maybe some of the girls, I haven't heard, but a lot of them are burping in the background, and I'm wondering if that's something that you're just trying to make them look a little ruder, or whether you just need to pull one out every now and then.
Yeah,
and
that's
over to your character.
That's literally what it is. I need to burp.
Okay, so yeah, what are you doing, drinking beer or soda in there?
No, it's just... actually, Mike and I eat lunch around just about an hour and a half to 2 hours before the show starts, and generally, it's some kind of a sausage and peppers sandwich from across the street, and or we do a lot of drinking of Diet Coke on this show, Diet decaffeinated Coke, because caffeine totally wrecks me. But I do drink a lot of caffeinated soda or decaf soda pops, and you know, you get gas.
And
I should stop.
I
should stop that because
I thought it was funny because it just makes it a little bit, you know, if they're being a jerk, it makes it a little bit ruder. And but yet,
I think it's funny when you're hearing Bobby going, you know, well, you know, Steve and I, and then you hear this.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's kind of weird. Yeah.
I got a couple more things though. Jim Rome, that was great. I've only heard you do one bit on that.
You like Rummy?
Huh?
Yeah.
It was funny as hell, and the art bells are getting better, man.
Oh, cool, okay.
I'm rolling when I hear those. I'm just wrong. I need to get my tape recorder and record them or something.
I'm big fans of both of those guys. Yeah, I like them both.
You know, that's one more question. I heard you say that about Art Bell, and I wasn't sure if you're being sarcastic, because sometimes
no.
I got to listen to a whole hour just to find out what you really meant.
He's a hero of mine, Art. He's like in his mid-50s, and his show never really took off till about 4 years ago.
Yeah.
So he was kind of a late bloomer, and that's been kind of the case in my career. And
so
I met him
at... Or do you just like the fact that he's just...
I like the fact...
Up.
Sometimes Art's show is tough to listen to because, you know, one time I tuned it on, and the cat's... He's got somebody on the phone. First of all, he breaks all the rules. He starts his show with a commercial.
Yeah.
Then he does these 40-minute phoners with some guy on a thin phone line in Quebec... And then the being's face began to expand. And if you come in the middle of it, you have no clue what they're talking about.
Yeah.
And Art doesn't seem to give a crap whether you do or not. And I admire that about him. He talks about stuff he's interested in. He just lays it out there on the radio. He doesn't care whether people know what the hell it is he's talking about or not. All of that stuff I admire.
Okay, well, I'm curious. And great show. Keep it up.
Thanks for calling. All right. Okay. And the... Art Bell, the other thing I met him at this talk radio seminar, and he's heard the shtick that we do, and I honestly didn't know how he would react, so I was a bit apprehensive, because Art Bell's a tall guy. He's about 6'3". I'm 6 feet tall. Anybody that that's taller than me is fairly tall, and he's about 6'3", and he was like General Johnson Jameson, huh? So I knew I'd live to see another day. Here is Ken on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi, Phil.
Yeah.
I just wanted to find out if you were aware that George Harrison of the Beatles was actually in a band. He had a band called Dark Horse.
Yeah, I was. Now that you mention it, I was. Not when we came up with the name for the band for Jeff, though. No. We're going to have to change Jeff's band name now that you mention it.
I know. I was freaking out because I was in London looking through some old rare vinyls.
Yeah.
And it's called George Harrison and Dark Horse.
You know what?
I was like, what the hell?
Yeah, that was a label. I think that was a vanity label of his, too, Dark Horse Records.
Oh.
But that was Harrison's band's name. So, but you know, he'll be dead soon. So, no, I'm just kidding. He's fine. No, we'll have to change the name. I don't know. Something to Beatles?
Yeah.
How's he doing? He's got cancer. He has...
lymphoma,
his brains are falling out. This guy, it's not done well for a dude that was like chanting Hare Krishna for a long time, you know?
Good point.
Yeah. Are you a fan of his?
Neither
am I.
Not really. The Beatles, but not necessarily George Harrison.
How about if we call a band Dark Horse 2?
Sounds good. Sounds right, like something Jeff Dowder would do.
Well, you, yeah. And remember, his new album is coming out, Judgment at Sunrise, The Cataclysm.
The Cataclysm. Yeah. I loved Armageddon.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Yeah.
All right, man, thanks.
You got it.
Yeah, George Harrison has had, like, throat cancer, stomach cancer, brain cancer. Some guy almost tried to kill him. He's indestructible. Craig, I'm not going to say what you want me to say, which is, why couldn't he have been the one that died? I'm not going to say that, because that's a sick, twisted, vile, possibly true thing to say. Here's Doug on the Phil Henry Show. Doug?
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you, sir?
Very good. I just want to let you know, I heard you the first time last night, and you took me in completely. I have to tell you, I was wondering where you found these guests. I think it's a new format.
Have you got your radio turned up?
No, I don't. I'm driving through Kansas City right now. So
yeah, well, you recognize that I do those character voices as well. What bit were you listening to?
I was listening to the guy that wanted to lure
Chandra Levy out of hiding.
Yeah, that's correct. And then the guy that wanted to sue everybody.
Yeah.
I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, Steve Bozell. Yeah, the Chandra Levy thing was based upon the idea that if she's in hiding, maybe you could lure her out with the right bait, and we figured, well, Chris, with his offer of a steak dinner at Applebee's, that's got to be it. All right, Doug, thank you.
Have a nice day.
Bye-bye. He sounds stunned, didn't he? He's just,
I don't know.
All right, here's Judd on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hey, Phil, wonderful show. Absolutely brilliant. And I wish I'd thought of it first, concept. The question
I have
for you
is... You can do it at home. You can do it door-to-door.
You know, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
I've spent a bit of time, as you're doing your show, trying to imagine how you're technically doing it. I mean, what you're physically doing to go from, you know, speaking directly into the microphone to making it sound like... you're on the telephone if you're using voice processing or
no?
Whereas,
we have
you know,
a telephone.
What are you actually doing?
We have a telephone. We have about three telephones. In fact, I have here a. We actually have a really cool carbon telephone, one of the old rotary dial phones. Those have a really nice dirty sound to them. We've got a couple of really nasty. Here's one, a Conair phone. Did you steal this out of an airplane, Craig? And so we use a variety of different telephones, the way most people would be on different phones. And then I am speaking into a phone, and I'm speaking into the microphone, and I'm just going back and forth.
So you're just physically moving your head back and forth between the microphone and the mouthpiece on the telephone?
Pretty much, yeah. Pretty much, yeah. That's just exactly what we're doing. And we have slide pots. I don't know if you know what those are, but as opposed to a round knob that you turn back and forth, a slide pot goes up and down. And so but I've worked with all kinds of crappy-ass equipment. Fortunately, this equipment that I'm working with now is really good, but I used to work with some pretty cramped, weird equipment, and I got good at using the different configurations of equipment that we have. I hope.
Certainly, at least when you started doing this, you made some mistakes and switched the voices up. Do you have anything like that on tape?
Yeah, I think we got some stuff, yeah.
I'd love to hear that at some point.
Cool, we got to put it up. Phil screws up. We'll do that right after Dumbass Roundtable.
Thanks, man.
Okay, buddy, thanks. Bye. Oh. I almost could have filed an application with OSHA. I could have gone on, gotten some workman's comp, because at KFI, I was working a board there that was a news board, and so the pots were down really low, and I was having to hold onto the microphone or hold onto the telephone tighter so it wouldn't slip out of my hand. Well, within about 4 months, I developed a really serious tendonitis in the crook of my elbow here. And it was painful, man. I'll never forget, like, it kept me up at night. That's how painful it was, because I was squeezing the phone so tight, it was inflaming the tendon, and it was throbbing and got bigger. And then as she moved toward the bed, it was really painful. And I thought, you know, somebody said to me, that's workman's comp. You can sue or file and sue, or, you know, sue and file. Here's Dan. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Phil. How are you?
Good.
Hey, I just want to know if there's any chance of you and your show being on some kind of cable network or anything so we could actually see what you are doing.
That would be pretty cool if C-SPAN would actually approach us, but they haven't. We do have a video of the show that we did at the Museum of Television and Radio, And we even had a television network come in here and roll what they call B-roll on the show, so they could, if they could see what they wanted to do with it. You know, there's people who, in the television business, who think they want to do something with this show. The problem with all of that, Dan, is that this is a very pure, in its purest sense, radio show.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, this is not a radio show like a lot of them that can translate over to television. This is a pure radio show, so it's difficult for this program to translate to TV and still remain, you know, interesting, I guess.
It's more or less you just sitting there talking.
It's me sitting here, yeah. Like, in, and 6 months ago, it was 260 pounds of me sitting here talking. So it was like a big 260 pounds of donut oil sitting here. And then between commercials, me picking my nose and Craig drinking coffee. It's really not all that exciting to look at a radio show, I don't think.
Can I tell you my favorite character real quick?
Sure.
Pastor William Rennick. And you repeated the show just a week or two ago where he did the... God made Adam and Eve. God didn't make no Adam and Steve.
Adam and Steve, yeah. He's cool. I dig him. I'm going to bring him back. He's cathartic.
Love the show, Phil.
Thank you for calling. I must have been born or died. My last life, I'm pretty sure I was black, is what I'm trying to say. Here is Jeff on the Phil Henry Show. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Phil. How you doing?
Fine.
Hey, I just wanted to know, do you ever, like, take your work home with you, you know, like, mess with your kids and your wife? I mean, I know you do, like, voices of your kids and stuff on the show to make fun of them, but I was ever wondering, when you go home, do you ever mess with them?
No, you mean screw with their minds? Oh, yeah, all the time. I don't do voices, but I'll screw with their minds, especially when they were young. I would do things like, for instance, our young guy, he was at the time 8, and I'd say, you read the news, didn't you? And he'd say, about what? They just did a study. Kids who watch too much television, of course, the two eyes begin to meld into one cyclops eye. And he's like, really? Yeah, oh, yeah. You didn't hear about it? No, I didn't. Well, that lasted about 6 months, and then they all knew that I was full of crap. Oh. I did one where they were eating some kind of food, and I said, you don't want to, you sure you didn't hear about the news story? What? You know a little Billy Emerson that lived down the street? Yeah. He may be in that can of chili. They haven't found his body, and so they were spitting it out in the sink. And then my wife said, you can't keep doing that, man. I said, okay, I'm sorry, man. But after 6 months, now they say to me, do you think we're stupid? Don't you know who it is that we are? We know you're full of it, so I can't do it anymore as much.
Do you let them listen to the show?
No, not. I would rather that they didn't. And sometimes Maria's got it on in the car, and when she hears some crap come on that kids shouldn't hear, she, like, flips it off. But you know what? The youngest guy, he listens to my CDs. I think he's going to go into radio or something because he does what I did when I was a kid. He listens to the radio, and he listens to a lot of stuff, and he imitates what he hears. And it's like a kid learning a skill.
Wow.
Anyway.
That's great. Well, I hope he does do something like you're doing, man. Continue the legacy, man, because you're great.
Well, thanks for calling.
Hey, thank you.
Okay, brother,
you.
Thanks a lot. Yes, this is Kiss Phil's Ass. I mean, this is You May Talk to Phil, 1-800-449-8686. Comments about the show, opinions that you have, things that you've heard, things you've seen, visions, voices you hear. You know, call and talk to Craig about those specifically. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
This is the Phil Henry Show.
Can I tell you, the other thing I used to do with the kids was the two games. One was called Oh My God, the Brakes Are Out, and the other was Oh My God, the Steering's Out. And I would be driving them to school in the morning, and I, Oh My God, the Brakes Are Out, and suddenly they would laugh. But the Steering Is Out one was better, because then I'd make the car veer toward a wall or something. Like, I told that on the air one time. Somebody called. It was abusive. It was child abuse. It was a horrible, terrible thing. You know, it's embarrassing, isn't it? And we all feel the embarrassment that we're a generation who has evolved to this sphincter-tightening place in history where nothing at all can be fun. And we all know that it's happened to us. And who's going to be the first one to just call, you know, just call the game and say, fine, let's go home and have a beer. Can we stop already? Or whatever it is I'm trying to say, with the plastic knife in school, and the kid almost threw, you know, he's going to slit his throat with a yogurt spoon. When you show me one case, Mike, get the news, you show me the case of a kid slaughtering 4 other students with a yogurt spoon, then I'll be with you on that one. Okay, anyway. Kathy, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, Phil. I just wanted you to know that there are some women out here who listen to you on a daily basis who get the show and enjoy it.
That is solid. Now, and I don't mean any disrespect. You're not a lesbian.
No.
All right. You've spent a lot of time around men, though, haven't you?
Very many.
Yeah, because you probably grew up, I'm going to take another guess, you grew up with a lot of brothers.
Three.
See, the women that get this show spend, I think, and I've said this before, have an inordinate, not an inordinate, I think they've spent a lot of time with men. They have, maybe, do you have sons? Are you
no,
a mother?
No children.
Huh?
No children.
No children? A lot of women who get the show are, you know, married to a man, and then they have like three sons, or they grew up with brothers, because it's a decidedly male place. In other words, the Three Stooges used to poke each other in the eyes, and here I am doing funny voices. This is not really a sexy thing. But when you get what it's about, because you've been around enough men to know where we're coming from, then I think those are the women that dig the show.
And I love it. You make me laugh out loud all the time.
Well, that's very kind of you. Now, what disgusting bit have we done that you... How about that one about how women can't have bowel movements? Did you like that one?
I didn't get to hear that
one. Oh, well, you missed it.
Yes, I did. But I did... I liked the one about the parents who have to go in and push their children into... pens of animals so they can save them, so they can be the hero.
I like that one, the gorilla pen one especially.
Yes, with the barbecue sauce. That was a nice touch.
How regular are you, Kathy? No, I'm just kidding. No, but that was brought to the show by one of the staff members who said, you know, my wife, what? Well, she goes like 4 days without going to the bathroom. I said, well, a lot of women do that. He said, yeah, I know, a lot of women, they can go like 4 days without going to the bathroom. He said, what about your wife? I said, that's none of your business, but if, frankly, she goes every day. So we turned that into a bit, and turned out that we were right. A lot of women were calling saying, okay, so I go 5 days. What difference does it make? Okay, Kathy, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's a nice lady, Kathy. One of the 14 women that listen to the Phil Hendry Show nationally. 1-800-449-8686. Here is, this is Derek. Hi, Derek, or Diedrich.
Diedrich,
how you doing?
Good. You're the master, Phil.
Thanks.
I got to tell you, when you hooked me, and I don't remember the character that did it, but maybe you remember. It was a guy that had some kind of a business, and he was trying to hire African-Americans. And a guy from Africa came, but he was a white guy. He was South African.
Right.
So then he altered his employment application to say Jungle American.
Right. Because he African-American... misled one into thinking he was black.
Exactly.
So if you just gave the sort of environmental conditions of where one was born, you were a jungle American or a vine American.
Right.
Yeah. So that's and he really wanted to change, you know, the way applications were
right.
done.
Yeah. Who was it that did that?
And it was less racist. Who was that, Mike? Do you remember? Larry Grover was the character. He's a
Larry?
Yeah, Larry's a member of the Conservatives of Kern County.
I know him well.
Yeah, he doesn't want any of this sort of kind of barrier creating labeling. So he decided, well, let's go with Jungle American.
Right.
Well, what if you come from Asia? You know, like rice paddy American, something like that. So, huh?
Well, that was it.
If you come from Asia, you're a bamboo American. So, I don't know. I like the idea. Phil Hendry Show.